Okay, so we are talking about Uncharted, walking into uncharted waters this month. Merriam-Webster defines it as new and unknown areas. Now, last Sunday night, I mentioned that walking in new areas might actually be walking in a new way in areas we've been in the past. Because I talked about how the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea and that they were probably familiar with the Red Sea, but had never walked across the bottom of it. And sometimes God takes us back into areas that we are familiar with, but we are different and our perspective is different. And so we walk in a new way. When Rick goes back to Chicago, he is a different person. He speaks in a different way. He does different things. He drinks different beverages. You know, there are a lot of different things that, different ones than he used to drink when he was in Chicago. You know, he said, make that clear, baby, make that clear. Yeah. So, you know, he is a different person now. And so when he goes back to those old places, he walks in a different way. Even though he's walking in a familiar place, he is a different person. And so he's walking in a different way. And so today we're going to continue talking about Moses. When God sent him to Pharaoh, he wasn't in a new place. He was born, he wasn't born in the palace, but he was probably raised at least in some part, some area of the palace. And so when he went back to the Pharaoh, he was going back to somewhere he had spent probably 40 years of his life, or a good portion of his life. When he was young, he believed that he would be the deliverer. I'm going to show you this in Acts 7 in a minute. No doubt he had heard the miraculous story of his deliverance, of the fact that his mother hid him in a basket in the river, and then that the princess found him, and that many of the other children his age were killed off, but he was saved. And he was excited, I'm sure, about what God was going to do with his life. And so maybe he thought he knew how God was going to use him as the deliverer. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 7 in verse 20. And if you want to stand, we're going to read through the verse 30. It says, at this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter, he was set out on the river so that because the decree that time was that they would kill the baby boys. So his mother put him on the river in a basket so that they wouldn't kill him. And when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away, brought him up as her own son. But we know his mother was the nurse. His sister went and got his mother. So he was familiar with both cultures because he was probably spent a lot of time with his mother, at least when he was young, and then time in the palace. So, and Moses, look at this. I want you to notice this verse because you're going to, you know, I need to understand this. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So here it says he was mighty in words. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. So he killed him. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them, his brothers that were slaves, and as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. So you can be seated. So this is where we pick up our story in Exodus 4. And I want you to understand, it is a very different Moses being sent back to Egypt. So in Exodus 4, Moses said to the Lord, because he saw a burning bush, when he saw the burning bush, he stopped. God spoke to him out of the burning bush. And notice Moses' response to the Lord. He said, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. This is the same one that was mighty in words and deeds 40 years ago. So see, he was a very different Moses now when he was going back to Egypt. He didn't seem concerned with being slow of tongue when he was 40. But humility, the humility that happened in him over these years, prepared him to speak God's words instead of his own. So God's response to Moses in verse 11 of Exodus 4. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Our ways and plans can at times be what hinders us the most from doing God's will. Because when we already have a plan set in motion and we already have our own ideas and we don't need God, then we proceed according to what we think is best and often make a mess of things like Moses did in the beginning. So here, when he comes back, he is well aware of his need, which caused God to be able to use him. Sometimes, like I said, walking in uncharted waters is walking back into situations with fresh eyes and the humility to realize our need for his wisdom and his plan instead of our own. And that is the awesome mercy of our God, is that he didn't go, "Well, forget you, I'm done with you. You know, we tried that once." God still had a plan for Moses, and God used him to do great things. And he lived many years and did awesome things because of the power of the Lord and because of his relationship with God. Walking with the Lord often involves walking into the unknown. And sometimes just being willing to walk with less of our own confidence and leaning more heavily on him prepares us to walk in new things. Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, wrote this to the church in Corinth. And this is something that Rick and I have prayed many times over our messages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And we know that God used Paul to do mighty, mighty works. He wrote multiple letters and, you know, preached lots of sermons. But it says, and also he, we know, was very vocal, even at the beginning, very vocal, you know, when he, before he was saved, very zealous for what he thought was the truth before he came to know the Lord. But it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That word demonstration also means manifestation. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, be manifested in what I speak. Because, you know, I could give a great speech and tell a lot of interesting stories, but that's not going to change you. What changes us is when the Holy Spirit illuminates the word and gives us revelation, and then we take that revelation, apply it to our lives, and allow it to change us. And so it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our goal in speaking his word should not be to be a great speaker. It's not to show our knowledge or our own wisdom so that people can see how much we know, so that we can prove how, you know, how good of a speaker we are, how much, you know, Bible trivia we know or any of that. But to flow with him and let him receive the glory. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't use people that are good speakers, because God gifts people with giftings and he wants us to use our giftings that he's given us for him. But we have to be extra careful in the areas where we are strong to make sure that we are submitted to God, because otherwise in those areas of strength, we can step out from our need for God and begin to do it in our own strength. And God will help us. He will keep us humble. He will send people into our lives to help us learn humility so that we can walk in those giftings and God can use us in those ways, because God wants to do that. Apollos is a good example of that. And we're not going to go to that, but I would challenge you to look in Acts chapter 18. It talks about Apollos. He was a good speaker. So God said to Moses, "I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what you shall say." It's very cool to me because we're talking about uncharted waters, and I felt like God wanted me to talk specifically about Moses and speaking and us speaking, you know, and walking into uncharted waters and God teaching us how to speak when we're, whether we're in our home or in the church or outside the church, that we would speak God's words. Well, it's cool because the definition of teach is very interesting. When God said, "Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Notice the very first, to flow as water. We are to flow with God and to speak his words. And we're going to talk about that today. To rain, to lay or throw, especially an arrow, that is to shoot, to point out as if by aiming the finger and to teach. I love this definition because it's also in one of my favorite verses, which is Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. It says that means in the Strong's Dictionary in the Hebrew, to point as with the finger. I'm like, yes, that's what God, I need you to be that specific with me. I need you to point your finger at what you want me to do or what you want me to say. And you know, God will, sometimes he will give us a verse and you're just like, wow, that was exactly what I needed to hear. Because God is personal. He wants to be personal with us. And so, many times the reason we're afraid to walk into uncharted waters, whether that involves new places or old places with a new perspective, is because we don't know what to say. How many of us have ever said, "But I don't know what to say. God, if you, you know, want me to do this, you want me to witness, or you want me to say something to somebody, or you want me to speak in church, or you want me to give a word, I don't know what to say." That's okay. That's a good place to be, because then we rely on the Holy Spirit as to what he wants us to say. I used to, in preaching messages, I was telling Ezra this last night, I used to get so stressed out. God, I have two ideas and I don't know which idea you want me to speak, and I don't want to speak the wrong message. And you know, I would just go bounce back and forth until I learned, God, you know my heart. You know that I want to say what you want me to say. And your word says that your sheep know your voice and they won't follow another. So I am trusting you to get through to me and to help me to say what I'm supposed to say. And I'm learning to just continually walk in that. Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord showed me this verse when he showed me Exodus 4 a while back. It says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." What an awesome promise. To know that we can awake every morning, hear as the learned from God Almighty, to speak a word in due season at the right time to people when they're weary. That's what the world needs. That's what the church needs. You know, I mean, sometimes even us in the church, the Bible says even the youth will grow weary and the young men will utterly fall, but those that wait on the Lord. So we need words in due season that will be spoken to encourage, to strengthen. Now, Bible commentaries say that this verse refers to Jesus, to the Messiah. It was speaking about the Messiah. What's awesome is it can talk about us as well. We are called to walk in his steps. We're called to walk like him, to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so as we walk into uncharted waters, into the things that God is calling us to, our biggest source of comfort can be that he is with us. That's what God said to Gideon when Gideon was like, "God, I'm not the one for this job. I can't do this." God said, "I will be with you," because that is his promise. And when you get to know him, I'm telling you, there is a relationship that you can have with God that when he says, "I will be with you," you go, "Okay." You know, there are lots of us, you know, if I'm going into a situation, I used to stay up, I don't as much anymore, but I used to stay up at the church by myself really late. My mom would say, "Shannon, please don't do that." You know, and so, you know, but I would stay up here really late, but I would, not that this really, you know, I don't know what. Anyway, I would call Rick every time I would get ready to leave before I would walk out of like the office even to go out to my car in the dark. You know, I would call Rick and I would wait. And then when I'm on the phone with him, I would talk to him all the way home, you know, which is like half a mile, you know, to my house. But just hearing him and knowing that he was there with me and he could hear what was going on gave me comfort. Why? Because I love him and I know he loves me. The relationship that we come into God, and when God says, "I will walk with you," when the Bible says that he will hold our hand, and you go, "Okay, God, me and you, We can do anything. And that's what God wants us to know, is that he will walk with us. But we do have to learn to flow. And if we want God to teach us how to walk into uncharted waters and speak his words, we need to flow with him. So how do we learn to flow as water in our speech? We're going to look at four things. In the scripture, God is represented by both fire and water. In fact, even in the, you know, we see the Holy Spirit in John 7. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary, or not all who are weary. I didn't write that verse down. But anyway, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It says this was talking about the Spirit, which had not yet been given because Jesus had not been glorified. And so the Holy Spirit often was referred to regarding water and fire. When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they submitted their tongue and spoke in other tongues, there were tongues of fire on top of their heads, the Bible says. So, fire. If we are going to flow with God, we have to first let his fire cleanse us. Will you put up the next PowerPoint, Joe? Let the fire cleanse instead of destroy. Sorry, I don't know why on my computer it had destroy, but anyway, it cut it off. But let the fire cleanse instead of destroy, because there are two types of fires that come from two different places. If you look in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I, this is Isaiah, said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which had come from, you know, it was hot from the fire, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. So here we see that fire was used to purify Isaiah's lips. The tong from the altar purified his lips, and it was a signature of his sin being purged. If, however, we don't allow God to cleanse our lips, we will end up with fire on our lips from the wrong place. Look in James chapter 3, and maybe some of you are familiar with this, but it's so important that we understand. James chapter 3, verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defies the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So if we do not allow God with fire to cleanse our lips, then we can end up with our tongue being set on fire by hell. And we can end up, you know, we've all probably heard the saying, if you're older, you know, it's kind of an older saying, I'm just fired up, you know. Well, if we're fired up, we need to make sure that the fire we're fired up with is coming from the right place. Because if it's not coming from God, it's coming from the flesh and often from hell. You see in the scripture where Peter spoke to Jesus and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So even as Christians, we can speak, and the things coming out of our mouth can come from the enemy. So we have to be careful that we let God cleanse our lips. Verse 7 continues, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Poison means, the definition of it in Merriam-Webster, is a substance that through its chemical action usually kills, injures, or impairs an organism. Even as Christians, we can speak poisonous words that hinder and injure. Verse 9 through 12 continues, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse, which means to feel or express great loathing for, to declare to be detestable. That's what the curse means. With it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And then I want to read you one more verse. In James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Whew, that is a strong statement. That is something that I would not say, because I wouldn't want to make a statement that much of a blanket statement, but God did. He said, if you do not bridle your tongue, your religion is useless. Because as Christians, whether or not we want to believe it or not, what we say has a lot to do with who we are. It comes from within our heart. It shows who we are. And it's vital that we understand that. So I just want to talk about life for a minute. What we share on social media affects people. We need to be very careful that we do not share anything on social media that we would not say. And that if we say it, that we would not say it if Jesus would not say it. Because as Christians, I've talked to my children about this because, you know, a couple of them have social media. Listen, even if you didn't say it, but you share it, you are agreeing with it by putting it on your page, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or, you know, Snapchat or whatever it is. You are in saying, I agree with this statement. And it's vital that as Christians that we are careful that we don't speak bitter, poisonous words. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to say things that maybe people disagree with. But we need to ask ourselves, is this necessary that I say it? Is it led by the Spirit? Because if it is not led by the Spirit and is led by the flesh, it can cause unnecessary division and unnecessary problems. And we need to be careful, because social media has become, as most of us know in our world, a very big deal. And people get on there and they, you know, say lots of things. And, you know, well, it's just vital that we represent Jesus in what we text, in what we post, in what we say. Because this says that blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. And some people say, well, like cussing, it's just a word. It's just, why is it such a big deal? But if I decided to just speak a word from up here while I was preaching, everybody would go, oh! Why would you do that? Because that word is a big deal based on who uses it and how it's used. And so listen, we need to be careful about our Christian witness. And this verse that I just read, that is such a blanket statement in James 1:26, God said it is a very big deal that we bridle our tongue. And it matters what we say and what we allow ourselves to speak and what comes out of our mouth and what we type and what we text. It matters. And so we need to be careful what we say. Because if we're so busy saying the wrong words, we're not going to be able to say the right ones. And so it's vital that we speak what God would have us to say, and that we let his fire continually cleanse our mouths, and that we speak his words. Because the cool thing, I don't really hardly ever post anything except on Hashtag News, just because I just don't. But I really thought that I should, because, you know, it is a platform to be really a big witness. Like, you can say a lot of godly things that you might not be able to go up to somebody and say it, but you can post it and they'll read it. And so really, it is a powerful platform that we can use to speak a lot of truth. So I would encourage you to pray. Say, God, how can I use this to be a witness and a light for you? So F is fire. Let the fire cleanse and not destroy. The L is listen to God. And we spend a little bit more time on that one than we will on the rest. The L, listen to God and others. James 1, verse 19 through 20 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Often, instead of being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, we are quick to assume, slow to listen, and quick to become angry, quick to get wrathful. It's very easy to do. But if we're going to speak words to those who are weary, we need to be listening to God. And we need to listen to other people. It is so easy, and we have all done it. I feel like everybody in here, you might as well just raise your hand, because we have all, while somebody is talking, we are coming up with a response. You know, the proverb says that it is folly to answer a matter before you hear the whole thing. But it's so easy to do that. Like, you're like, if I don't say this now, I'm going to forget. Like, I need to respond right now. You know, and Rick and I have had to learn, and we still have to learn sometimes, not to interrupt each other. Because, you know, this communication thing and this, the way that we speak and being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Ask yourself, am I doing that in my family? Am I doing that the way that I respond to my siblings, the way that I respond to my husband and wife, the way that I respond to my parents or to my children? Am I being quick to listen? Just last night, I had a situation with one of my children, it's okay. I had to, that pretty much gives it away for the moment. Not after I have eaten, there will actually be more than one she, because now I can say he, and y'all don't know who I'm talking about, but if I say she, everybody knows it's Lydia. But anyway, I had a situation, and I was already getting angry. Like, and thankfully, you know, I've been studying for this message and the Lord helped me. And so it's easy to assume things and get upset rather than ask questions. And so when she came home, I started asking questions. As I'm asking questions and she's giving me answers, I'm getting less angry. And I'm realizing, okay, there, you know, I don't need to be angry here. But this is a scripture that we need to make sure we're applying in our families, because it's easy sometimes to be less angry with people outside of the church and outside of our family, and to be very polite and nice with other people, and to not live this out in our family, like with our husband and wife, with our children, with our, you know, with those that we're close to. And so it's very important that we be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be, to get angry, because if we are quick to speak, we can often speak out of the flesh. And we can say something that we need to, that we will regret. And so if we do say something that we regret, I would challenge you, apologize for it. It's very, very simple. It's hard on the flesh, but it's very simple. You know, I've had to call people and say, I am sorry. I should not have said that. You know, Rick and I have had to apologize to each other. I've had to apologize to my children. I'm sorry. I overreacted. You know, they've had to apologize to me. You know, I mean, this is how we learn this thing. And so we have to stop being so busy speaking our words and stop and listen to what he would have us to say. Sometimes what God would have you to say might surprise you. God's voice is often dismissed, though, because he often speaks in what sounds like a thought. And many times God is speaking and it sounds like a thought and we dismiss it as it can't be God. If you will learn to listen and really believe, God, you said in John 10 that your sheep know your voice. I am your sheep because I am a Christian. So I can know your voice. So God, I want to hear what you're saying to me. But we have to get still and quiet in order to listen to what God wants to say to us. Oh, is only speak the right words. Will you put up that next PowerPoint, Joe? Only speak the right words. Sorry, that's kind of hard to read, but it's all squished together. Proverbs 25:26 says, a righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. So the same as we are to flow as water, and water is a beautiful spring, and it gives what gives, you know, it gives, it helps the thirsty. If we are out of course, that's what that word means, who falters. If we waver in the way that we live our Christian life and the way that we present ourselves, it says in front of the wicked, we're like a murky spring and a polluted well. So we need to stay close to Jesus and allow him to keep us straight. Matthew 12:36-37. This is another one of those very strong, powerful scriptures that God spoke. It says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If that verse does not cause you to think, I need to be careful what I'm saying, then your heart is hard. That's just reality. that verse should allow just a little bit of fear of the Lord in all of us to think, I am going to give an account for every idle word that I speak, because I will be justified by my words or by my words condemned. It's a strong statement. We need to take it seriously. Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. God can give you a word. I challenge you to pray for our missionaries. And if God gives you a word, email them, send them a card. This says like cold water to a weary soul. A lot of them get weary on the mission field. If God gives you a word just for somebody that is far away, now it's so easy to keep in touch with people. You know, we can text or email or call. Give them the message that God is speaking to you. And the last one is wait. We have talked so much about waiting in the last few years. But Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word is so much better if it's spoken at the right time. The wrong words at the wrong time is very bad. The right words at the wrong time can be very bad. The best is when we give the right words spoken at the right time. As I was typing out this message, I heard the Holy Spirit multiple times say, slow down. When I get excited, like I've, you know, been studying and I've been, you know, the Holy Spirit's been giving me things and I have. And so when I sit down to type it out and put it all together, a lot of times I'm just excited. Like I'm just, and the Holy Spirit was, he kept saying, slow down, slow down. So even here, I was praying before I came up to speak, Lord, help me, because I get, you know, I just get in a hurry. We need to slow down, because often if we will wait, God will speak or reveal. I'm going to challenge you, especially if you are angry or frustrated, take a minute and wait. Maybe take, you know, like an hour and wait, you know, before you speak, and allow God to show you how to respond, what to say, you know. The right words, I already said that. Submit your mouth to the Lord. That's one of the great things about fasting, is that it helps us learn to submit our flesh to his spirit. And learning to listen and speak his words is something that God can do. We can't tame the tongue, but God can. So I want to end with a story from Exodus 15 about the Israelite people. And this was right after they had walked through, very quick after they had walked through the Red Sea. So Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they had come to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord. He did the right thing. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. And this is important because they had just seen all the plagues. They had seen what God was capable of. And so, of course, the Egyptians, this was the same Pharaoh that had killed babies, you know, and I mean, had beaten God's people. It was, you know, there was a lot of judgment that had been laid up for them. But for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the water. There's a lot of bitter water flowing through our world. And as God's children, we need to let God's truth bring sweetness and allow people to drink from that. Proverbs 15:4, and I want to end with this verse, says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Our wholesome words can bring the tree of life into the bitterness of the water around us. There are a lot of people flowing, speaking a lot of words that have been set on fire by hell. And we as Christians, if we will allow the wholesomeness that comes from God to speak, it can bring a tree of life into bitter waters and allow people to hear truth. And that's what people need. They need the truth. They need hope. And so I challenge you to submit yourself to God, to let you him teach you how to flow as water. Learn to seek to know the voice of God. It will bring such a new element to your relationship with the Lord. Even if you've known about God or you've read your Bible for a long time, when you begin to hear the voice of God for yourself, it will change your Christian life. So submit yourself to let God teach you. His water brings life to a thirsty world. That's what Jesus said. So as the song plays, I want to invite you to let God challenge you with his truth. What has he said to you? What do you need to do with the truth that he has revealed to you today? Because the Bible says if you are a hearer and not a doer, you will deceive yourself. That's a given. That's what the scripture says. And the altar is one place where we can submit ourselves to his will. If you have never submitted your whole life to the Lord Jesus, then you can't submit your tongue. A lot of people, they hear a message like this. If you haven't really submitted your life to the Lord Jesus, you can go and try to do better in your mouth. But we're not meant to do it on our own and just try to do better. We submit our whole life and our body, and that includes our tongue, to the Lord. And then he helps us. And so we offer him the whole package of who we are, understanding that he is the one who made us able to come to him when he went to the cross. So if you need prayer for anything, healing, wisdom, strength, or if you want us to pray with you as you submit yourself to God, we invite you to come as this song plays.